President Bush's stealth trip to Iraq yesterday evoked a variety of images, quite by design. The commander-in-chief swooping into hostile territory, braving great risk to pump up troop morale, shaking off the ever-present security bubble that normally holds the world at bay, to sneak away to the other side of the globe under the cover of darkness and a certain degree of deception. Mr. Bush is the first American president to visit Iraq, but he's of course not the first president to enter a war zone. To put the Thanksgiving trip into some historic context, we called presidential historian Michael Beschloss and asked him to join us here in the studio. Thanks for being with us.
Delighted, Michelle.
Now, most of the president's family, even his own Secret Service detail, didn't know he was making this trip. He sort of stretched the truth to sneak away. In essence, he had to shake his normal security detail to be more secure. This is not the first time this has happened, though, is it?
No, it's not. It doesn't happen often, but it has happened. You know, you remember the pictures of Franklin Roosevelt meeting with Churchill and Stalin in places like Tehran and Yalta during World War II. Those were during trips that were very secret. The American people were not told where he was going. There was a lot of effort to make people think that he was somewhere else. And that was a good thing, because if the Nazis had known that Franklin Roosevelt was on a boat going across the Atlantic, they would have sent a bomber over and bombed it and killed him. It was very necessary.
Well, what's interesting now, though, is this trip shows how much the security around the president has changed. That bubble has become smaller and tighter, and it's even harder to sneak away and try to do something like
that. You know, each time it usually changes, unfortunately, when there's a horrible incident. For instance, after the John Kennedy assassination, you never again saw a president riding around in a street in a convertible. After Ronald Reagan was almost killed in 1981, you rarely saw a president working a rope line.
But that changed, though, in recent years. I mean, President Clinton certainly sort of stretched the limits of security. He tried,
and especially during the first year or two, you would see him, for instance, running in jogging shorts on the Washington Mall, and people knew that he did run there. And after a while, you'd have people who were waiting around to see whether he would come. That's exactly what the Secret Service does not want, because they would feel that a president is most secure if he does something like that, if it's by surprise, if people don't know it's going to happen. For instance, 1977, when Jimmy Carter was inaugurated, he got out of his car, walked down Constitution Avenue and Pennsylvania Avenue so he could be closer to the people. Secret Service didn't like it, but they felt that wasn't too much of a risk because people didn't know it was going to happen.
When the president recently went to Britain, it demonstrated one thing, is that the president and his inner circle, the top brass in the administration, travel with much more security than most world leaders.
They do, and it's a response to a real threat. And that has been true in history, too. For instance, 1958, Richard Nixon went to Caracas in Venezuela. He was in a motorcade. The car was landed on. People beat the windows in, broke the windows, almost killed Nixon. In 1960, Dwight Eisenhower was supposed to go to Japan, but there were so many anti-American demonstrations that the trip was canceled. While he was actually in the Pacific, the plane had to turn around.
When the president was in London, as we noted, that it really demonstrated how thick his security is. It's quite rare for the president to meet someone in a spontaneous setting. I mean, the people that they encounter,